Buddy, it's 25 Missouri wine tasting, and I started to do this thing for my podcast. It's called 10-Minute Wine Tips with Twani, right? So I just relaunched my podcast, and it is available on Spotify. And this 10-minute portion of the podcast is just to talk to you guys about like how to decipher wine labels, how to read wine labels. I know a lot of times when we go into the grocery store, people are just like overwhelmed with the amount of wines that are on the shelves. And honestly, a lot of times people just don't even know how to pick their wines. So I thought, you know what? Let me do this quick podcast just to talk to you about the labels and how to pick your wine. Now, I live in Cape Town, South Africa right now, but when I was in Los Angeles, it was pretty awesome because I had access to so many different wines from all over the world. So going into the grocery store was super, super intimidating. But it was also super fun because I would honestly travel around the world through wine. So how I picked my wine is I'd say, okay, where do I want to go in the world? And then that's how I would start my journey. If you don't have that many options, but you're still overwhelmed, we're just going to talk about some of the key things on the label that you should look out for. So I have some of my favorite wines here, and we're just going to talk about like what's on the label and what that means. So let's start off on a big general category, for example. Here I have the Black Girl Magic Red Wine Blend. It is from California. It's produced by the McBride sisters. So of course, you know what? A lot of times people pick their labels based on how the label actually looks. And I love how this label looks. The words are big, you know, the words on the label actually resonate with me. So I would buy this if I were going to a dinner party or if I were hanging out with my girlfriends and I wanted to just like have a fun conversational piece. So I really love how this label speaks to me. But what does it mean, right? So red wine blend. Red wine blend means that it can be a blend of a number of grapes, a number of different grapes. You can always, well, not always, you can sometimes look on the back and you can see what grapes are actually in the wine. Sometimes they don't list them, like this one, they don't list it, but the wine is from California. And you see that on the back of the label. It says wine's origin, California, but it doesn't say a region, right? So when it doesn't say a region, especially in a place like California, it means that these wine grapes that they actually make the wine from come from anywhere in California. More than likely, it's Central California because Central Valley is where they grow a lot of different wine grapes and they use them for wines. And let's see, what else about California? And more than likely, I'm sure there has to be some kind of Cabernet in this red wine blend because it's California and California is known for Cabernet. It would only make sense, right? And Cabernet Sauvignon is a really big blending grape. You'll find it in Bordeaux. So red wine blend, California, big region. It doesn't tell you particularly where in California it comes from. So just keep that in mind whenever you see just the name of the region. It's not going to tell you specifically exactly where that comes from. So we're going to move over to South Africa and we'll swap it back and forth between my two favorite regions, California and South Africa. But reading the label, because they're both New World countries, which means that it's great because in New World countries, we name our wines after like the grape. We have proprietary names. We don't necessarily name our wines after the region, which makes it easier to tell what the grape variety would be because a lot of times they just list it on the bottle. Like this wine, for example. So this is the Lily Van Soren Syrah. So look at that beautiful label, right? The label just calls out your name. This would make a perfect high-end gift for somebody just because the label is embossed. It has the gold foil for the letters. That's kind of what I look at when I want to take a wine to a dinner party. I look at a label that's going to be like really pretty, that's going to make a great gift. So this makes a great gift. It tells you right on the label what the wine is. It tells you who the winemaker is. I particularly love labels like that. And for me, when I start thinking about price points for wines, that's how I determine if I want to go up a price point, right? So if you're in America, the standard price point for a red wine could be like $15 and up. Oh, inflation has hit America hard, so I'm not sure what that number is right now. But in general, about $15 and up for a pretty decent red wine, like the Black Girl Magic. This is about $15 to $20, right? And then this wine, we're in South Africa, but I'm going to talk about it in American prices, what I would pay for this wine. So I would pay probably like starting off no less than $30 for this bottle of wine. And the reason is because it lists the winemaker, it lists the grape varietal, and then it also lists a region, right? A more specific region than just saying California. So it doesn't just say Western Cape, which would be like the state in California. It says wine origin, Upper Himalayan Arder Valley, right? So Upper Himalayan Arder Valley. I know Himalayan Arder, right? And so I know Himalayan Arder. They make amazing wines, and it comes from that region. So all the grapes come from that region, and it's a small region, right? So that's why I'm empty. That's why I'm upping the price too that I would pay. So I said starting off. So I probably might pay, I'm sure I would pay a lot more than that, maybe like $45 up to $55 for this bottle of wine. It's a 2019. Vintage matters, but not so much, right? Not unless you know for a fact that that year was a particularly great year. Like, for example, 2016 wines are particularly great in South Africa because it was in the height of the har not the harvest, the height of the drought season, right? And so those wines tend to be a little bit more concentrated and complex. 2019 was a decent year. It wasn't a bad year. There wasn't anything like in particularly bad that happened. So so that's how I look at this wine. Upper Himalayan Arder Valley, you look at the alcohol content, it has 13% alcohol, which is, I think, is a beautifully made wine because Syrah can get really, really high in alcohol. So for somebody to craft that wine with like 13%, it tells me personally as a winemaker that you know what, they took their time. I'm not personally looking for something that's super high in alcohol because I might want to have more than one glass. I might want to have two glasses or three glasses, and I don't want to be tipsy. I just want to have it with a nice meal or have it with a nice conversation. So, are you guys ready to go to the next one? Let me just take a pause. You know, sometimes I talk so fast. All right. So, the next one that we're going to go to, and the reason that I'm doing it in this order is because I'm kind of going from big to small to smaller, right? And as you do that, for me, my personal opinion, that's how I determine the price value and how much I want to invest in a wine, right? Other people might have other reasons or other ways of doing it, but I think this is the best way because it tells me a lot about the wine. So let's go to the next one. All right. So the next wine is a Canopico. Canopico. Did I say that right? It's Afrikaans and it means cannon, right? This is a really, really, really historical winery. They've been making wine in South Africa for a very long time. It's classic, right? They have some Canopicos that are very commercial and mass produced, and then they have some that are not mass produced, right? Some that, and the wines are pretty in general solid quality, right? So this Canopico, this is a 2019 Pinotage. And what's special about this wine, why I would, you know, invest in this wine. And like I said, I would start off, well, I didn't say it, but I would start off probably, I'm talking American prices, right? I would start off with this wine paying, I would say $30. 30 would be like the starting price. I'd probably go up to, if I were in America, $60 for this wine. And I'll tell you why. Even maybe even more, right? $60, $65 for this wine, and I'll tell you why. First of all, it says estate wine, right? So that means that all the grapes that this wine was made from actually come from that wine farm. So the grapes are grown in that farm, they're harvested, they're put into a cellar that's on that farm, they're bottled on that farm, and they're stored on that farm. That's what estate means. So estate, whenever you see that estate wine, that just means that everything was done. And it's kind of like a mother who cares for her baby from beginning to end, right? So you know that it's going to be quality. Well, you hope that it's going to be quality. More than likely, it's going to be quality. And with the reputation of Canonical, the fact that it's a state wine, that you'd have to really mess this up to go wrong, right? And then on the back here, it says single vineyard wine, right? That means that, they have this, it just comes from one vineyard. They don't bring in grapes from anywhere else. They actually get them from that one region. And then what makes this wine extra special too is on the back of the label. I don't know if you guys can see this. Let me just show you. It says bottle number, right? So it tells you the amount of bottles that were made and it tells you which bottle this was. So there were 6,470 bottles made of this wine, and this is bottle number 46777. Whenever I see these, I usually try to get like the bottle number of like my birth year or my children's birth year or a special year for me because I'm just trying to make it extra special. So if you were going to take this as a gift for a party, if it were an anniversary party and they said bottle number, 1984, maybe that's the year that the people got married, or if it's a bottle number 2022, maybe that's the year they got married or had a baby or something like that. So it also makes it kind of extra special. But that's how you read this label. There's some things on the labels that are going to be standard. They're going to talk about the health warnings, like this says alcohol abuse is dangerous to your health. So funny in South Africa. I've seen labels that say, be careful when crossing the road, or don't drink and walk on the road. So it's kind of funny. Contains sulfites. So almost all wines contain sulfites, and once they're natural, but sulfites helps preserve the wine. So don't be turned off by sulfites. All wines have sulfites in them. It's a naturally occurring thing in wines. And what else? So it just tells you like the wine of origin. The wine of origin is Sonneberg Stellenbosch. It's a product of South Africa, grown and produced and bottled at Canonical, just like I said, right? So this is a 2019 and it was delicious. As you guys can tell, I've already drank these wines. I just grabbed some bottles from my collection. I like to collect the bottles just because moments like this, when I want to go back and talk about the bottles, I have them here. And they're just really fun reminders of like who I enjoyed the wine with and how I enjoyed the wine. So we are going to continue. All right. Are you guys still with me? Are you guys still interested in this? Have you learned anything? Please, if you've learned anything, just put something in the comment. If you didn't learn anything, or if I said something that was wrong, you can put that in the comment too. Let's talk about it. Let's get me right. Let's get you right. Okay. All right. So we're going to move on. We're going to go back to California. Go on back to Cali. 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 Okay. I love California. Can you guys tell? Yeah, that's my hometown. So this is the Brown Estate, Zinfandel. So let me just tell you that Brown Estate is a wine farm, winery, wine estate that I discovered early on in my wine career, and I feel like it's a magical place. If you're a member of Brown Estate, you get the honor, the privilege to actually go taste at their estate. And they have this beautiful wine cave where they store the wines. You walk through the wine cave, and when you get to the end of the wine cave, there's this small tasting room, and it's just so quaint and so beautiful. And usually the winemaker, David, who'll be there pouring the wines for you. It's a family-owned vineyard. It's Black-owned. It's in St. Helena, the St. Helena part of Napa Valley. So this wine, this was a gift. So whenever somebody comes to Cape Town and they say, Tawny, what can I bring you? There's two things that I ask for. Taco shells, well, three things down. Taco shells, toothpaste, because that chemicals in that American toothpaste, it have your teeth looking right? So toothpaste and then wine. I always ask for a bottle of California wine. And my friend Monica, she went to California and she bought me this Brown Estate Mickey's Block Zinfandel, a 2018. And this is a special year for me because 2018 is when I first decided that I wanted to live in South Africa. So it's a great year for me. It's one of my favorite years. Like if you ever wanted to get me a bottle of wine, I would say it should be 2018 or it should be 2016, because 2016 is when I first visited South Africa. And so I get really super emotional about those 2 years. So It's special. Armagnac is special. And this wine is not cheap. This wine is very expensive. But can I tell you why it's expensive? First of all, it's a family-owned vineyard. It's not this huge production where they're doing this mass production. But what makes it so expensive is when you look at it, it says Mickey's Block Zinfandel Napa Valley, right? And it says Brown Estate Wine. So this wine came from their property in St. Helena, and it actually came from a very specific block. So it's Mickey's block. They have one that's called Rosemary's block, and they have Mickey's block. And I can't really tell you which one is my favorite. I have to taste them side by side, but they're both equally delicious. And so when I look at paying extra for this wine, I'm looking at the fact that not only is it an estate wine, but it comes from a very specific part of the estate, a very specific part of the winery, of the vineyard, and the winemaker knows that he knows that vineyard like he knows his children, right? So he knows that the sunlight is going to affect this particular vineyard block like this, and these are some of the flavors that he expects, and then he keeps that separate because it's so unique and it's so good. So that's kind of like what you're paying for. You're paying for that knowledge and that talent that the winemaker takes to put into this wine. So when you think about drinking wine, don't just think, okay, they're bozos who fermented juice by accident. That's not the case with most wines, right? Especially things that are estate grown or come from a single block or have the winemaker's name on them. They're actually making decisions at every step of the point from like what they're going to plant, where they're going to plant this wine. And then when they get into the cellar, what aging vessel they're going to use. Are they going to let it go through a natural malolactic fermentation? Are they going to initiate it themselves? There's so many questions that they have to answer, and all those questions go into making this quality wine that we can enjoy for years to come. And like, obviously, I don't lay my wines down. I have started to, and lay my wines down means that keep them, store them, keep them for a long time. Because I wish that I had kept this one for at least 10 years, but I didn't. As soon as I got it from Monica, I opened it up because I missed California so much. And it was delicious. It was very, very good. Yeah, so we have one more. I know you guys, I get so carried away. I just love talking about wine and I love talking about my experiences with people and with wine. And it just brings up so many memories, right? So we're gonna talk about this wine. And I haven't opened this wine yet. I'm trying to keep it for a moment. I'm trying to keep it for a special occasion. Or maybe I'm just waiting until I go to the winery and get some more. I tried to go a couple of weeks ago, but the winemaker wasn't there, so I have to go back. This winery is a Silverthorne. It's called the Green Machine. Yes, the Green Machine. And this is a Method Cape Classique. Method Cape Classique, that's what it says on the label. But you know what? We've actually changed the name to Cape Classique, but I love how they're rebels and they're keeping the Method Cape Classique. I love saying MCC. So MCC is the proprietary name that South Africa gives its sparkling wines made in the Champenois method, made in the traditional method, made in the same method that they make sparkling wines in the Champagne region in France. So just in case you don't know that, I'll give you a quick champagne lesson. So our Method Cape Classic, our traditional method champagne, sparkling wine. So when it's made in the traditional method, it means that it's fermented twice, it's fermented two times. The first time they make the wine, just like they make any still wine that you buy in the grocery store or in your wine shop. They ferment that wine, that still wine, to juice, and then they put it in a bottle, the same very same bottle that you buy in the store, and then they ferment it for the second time. So they add a little bit of sugar and a little bit of yeast, and then they put a soda cap top on it. And then it ferments inside the bottle. And there's a whole process. We can talk about that and how to make champagne. But the key is it's fermented twice. So if you look at this label, it'll say bottle fermented, right? So that's an indication that the wine is made in the Champenois method and the traditional method. So if you like If you actually, not because you're liking it because you like to pop bottles, but if you really like the taste of sparkling wine, you like that yeastiness, that brioche, you like the acidity, the bubbles, you're gonna look for something that says bottle form fermented. You're gonna look for something that says method traditional. Of course, you're gonna look for champagne if you're in the Champagne region. If you're in South Africa, you're gonna look for Method Cape Classique, or you're gonna look for Cape Classique. If you're in Spain, you're gonna look for Cava. So different countries have proprietary names that they've given to sparkling wines that are made in the traditional method, which means that they're fermented twice, the second time inside the very same bottle that you buy. And that just results in very complex flavors. And I love sparkling wine. Do you like sparkling wine? If you do like sparkling wine, just put in the comments what your favorite sparkling wine is. No matter where it is in the world, let me know what it is. And if you're somewhere else in the world, bring it to South Africa for me to try. Okay. My shameless plug or shameless, what is that? I don't want to say begging, but my shameless asking for gifts. All right. So that was quick, I hope. I hope that you learned a lot. And if you have any questions about how to interpret these bottles, please, you know what? I have customers who will call me. Well, they can't really call me too much now because I'm all the way in South Africa, but you can WhatsApp me. You can WhatsApp me and you can text me, or you can just, Instagram me and say, hey, I'm taking a trip to the grocery store. Can you give me any tips? Or if you're in the grocery store, call me or text me with a picture and ask me, like, what do you think about this bottle? I'll be happy to help. That's what I do. I'm here for you. I don't want you to be intimidated by wine. I want wine to be simple and fun for you. Let's do it.